Well, we're going to continue in our time in worship through opening up God's Word together. Vamos a abrir las Escrituras. And today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. So vamos a abrir las Escrituras a Juan 13, 1 al 17. It's right behind me as well. And we're going to read it together and reflect on what God's Word is sharing with us this morning. Vamos a leer las Escrituras. And I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture for us and explain a little bit about what this season is looking like for us. Today we're actually starting a new Easter series that we're calling The King and the Cross, where we're going to be looking at some of the last moments of the life of Jesus before he took the cross, and how those last moments can even shape us as a community. And so we're going to prepare our hearts and minds to enter into God's Word. And again, one thing I love about being in a more intimate group is that together we can discern, we can pray, we can look to what exactly the Holy Spirit is speaking to us here through His Word. So we're going to read the scriptures today. Vamos a leer las Escrituras, starting at John chapter 13. And we're going to go from 1 to 17. And this is going to be a bit of a familiar passage to some of us, but I'm going to invite us this morning to read it and hear it with fresh eyes and with fresh ears to see what the Lord would say to us this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture for us. You can follow along in your Bibles, in your applications, or in the projector right behind me. It will be there. And this is a scripture reading from John chapter 13, 1 to 17. I'll be reading in English, but you can follow along in Spanish as well. John 13, 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Es la palabra de Dios. Let's pray together. Lord God, we acknowledge that you are here in this place. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would descend over us in this time where we put our minds and our hearts together to discern what it is you're trying to tell us through your word. You are the source of light, God, and that's why we come to you. By your word, Lord, you give light to our souls. Pour out on us, God Almighty, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened to know your truth and your way. It's in the faithful name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So, as I mentioned, we're looking at this Easter series that we're calling The King and the Cross. And we see here, in the final days of the life of Jesus, in the final moments of the life of Jesus, that Jesus actually comes into our world to turn our worlds right side up. He shows us how things ought to be on earth as it is in heaven. And here in this passage, we see Jesus once again challenging and redefining what greatness and what power is. And he shows this to his disciples on this final night. This was the final dinner that he had with his friends and his disciples. And what does he choose to do? Instead of being served, he chooses to serve them. So there's a few other comments that I have on this passage, and we may even dive more into it next week during our regular service. But I want to hear from us here, from the community. When we read these scriptures, when we read God's living word, as Nancy was talking about earlier, what do we see? First of all, what's happening here in this passage? And what do we learn about God? And what do we learn about people? And what do we learn about faith and our relationship to God and with each other? So like I said, I love when it's a more intimate group, because we can follow the leading of the Spirit and go a little bit more out of the box. So I have this microphone, and I'm going to invite us to simply share. You can take a moment to look through that passage again on your own and answer this. First of all, what's happening here? What's happening in this passage? What does it say about God? And what does it say about people? So go ahead and just take a quick moment to reread through that. And after we share together, I'll go ahead and share some comments as well. I'll go ahead and read the last few verses just to refresh our memories, starting at verse 15, 13, 15. I have set you an example, says Jesus, after washing their feet, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So what's happening here in this passage? ¿Qué está ocurriendo en este pasaje? What's happening? What do we learn about God? What do we learn about people? What do we learn about greatness and power in the kingdom of God? So you can go ahead and just raise your hand, and I'll pass this around.
If I had to identify with anybody in the Bible, I would have identified with Judas.
Wow.
That was pretty bad. And yet he was part of the plan. Mm-hmm.
Judas was a part of that meal too, right? Yeah. Thanks so much. What else do we see in this passage?
I tend to think that, as our sister said, we all have gone through a part of Judas. Hmm. I think that's why we all started when we didn't know Christ. And the Bible says even before we knew Christ, we were doing our own things. But when Christ came into our lives, he changed us. And I think, we may not go washing everybody's feet, but it's a service. It's calling for service. What are you doing to serve God's people? Because sometimes we might wait for others to serve us, yet the call is you go do unto others what Christ would have them do, want you to do to them. So I think that my understanding is if I wait to wash the people's feet, it might never happen. Hmm. Even though I know there are some churches that do that, there are some people who do that. But is the calling beyond just washing the feet? I think there is a greater calling to serve God's people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly what the posture of Jesus is there, right? It's serving his disciples. It's not simply the act of washing the feet, although, yeah, that's an important conversation. We can talk about that. But it's the posture of service. The posture before God and before God's people as well. What else do we see here in this passage? What's going on and what can we learn about God and about people?
In verse 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So Jesus knew he was God. He didn't have to do this, wash the disciples' feet, but he chose to do it. And it just shows, like, he had all the power in the world, but he chose to humble himself. It's just, we should have to do it. We don't have all the power. Why wouldn't we do it?
Mm-hmm. He had all the power in the world, and he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it. Cristo eligió hacerlo. Wow, thank you for that, Joyce. That's extremely powerful. What else do we see here in this passage?
So I feel like every time we hear of Judas, we just think, oh, he's an evil guy. Yes, he was. But he had to play that role for Jesus to die for us. It was all part of the grand scheme. Even Judas did not know what he was doing, but that was his position. So even in our dark times or when you're feeling like God, you're not right with God, God is still using those moments. So we can't downplay any season of our lives.
Yeah, we can't downplay it. Thanks for that, Pandora. And there's this passage that continues over even in Genesis in the story of Joseph. What man intended for evil, God uses for good. And that's just mysterious. That's beyond us. Even sometimes when the intention is there to destroy, God can use that to restore and to bless. What else do we see here in this passage?
I see God talking about the worldly power and the power that God gives us. Yeah, that, mm-hmm. The disciples are thinking that Jesus shouldn't be washing their feet. And that's the worldly power sometimes that we account to leadership and being up there and others lowly. But what is God doing? He's exemplifying what it means to be powerful, actually, is to humble ourselves and do the least of these things that we don't expect, people don't expect us to do. So I love that he is setting that example. And on verse 17, he says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. But how many times do we actually do that?
Hmm. Yeah. True leadership, true power. El poder de Dios. Any other comments? Maybe from this side, anyone that wants to share what's happening in this passage?
Me, it's the just remaining humble. I've been blessed to be a leader, and I want to show the people who are working for me and around me that no matter what, I can remain humble. The whole washing of the feet was pretty powerful because I want to use it daily. In my life, in my walk, to stop for a moment, take a breath, and say, "Are you acting like a servant, mm-hmm. or are you acting worldly in this position?" You know, taking that moment and not taking advantage of the fact that I am a leader, mm-hmm. and being able to step back a little bit and humble myself before, and think and pray before I make a big decision that's can affect people's lives. And I want them to see that my humbleness. Maybe when they leave that day, they mm-hmm. can say, "Wow, you know, there's something about the way he made that decision
yeah.
that his humility mm-hmm. showed stronger than anything else."
Yeah,
and that's what this really is pointing out to me—the humility in it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Marcus. And humility is the posture of strength. When we see, and humility is not humiliation. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be a doormat. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be treated any way. It means being honest before God and others, right? And if God has placed you in that position, how can you be a blessing to others? And all of us have that opportunity. We all have different circles of influence to lead, to bless, to serve, to influence. We can do that at our homes, in our school, in our workplaces, wherever it is God has us. So what else do we see here in this passage? Yeah.
On verse 15, Jesus is setting an example for us. He's showing us what to do to other people and humble ourselves. And it shows that we are all equal, one. And nobody is better than the other one. We're all made in the same image of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Equal before the eyes of God. And again, God himself, God incarnate, the creator of the whole world, he washed their feet. The creator served the created. Think about that for a second. The humility of God, the righteousness of God. There's this other passage in the book of Philippians in chapter 2 that talks about the humility of Christ. Though being God himself, did not count it as righteousness, but humbled himself to be with us. What else do we see here in this passage? What do we learn about God? What do we learn about people?
In verse 8, where Peter says to him, "You shall never wash my feet," and Jesus answers him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Mm-hmm. I think that's very significant in allowing the Lord to cleanse us mm-hmm. in all areas of our life. Amen.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is saying, not all of you are clean. Mm-hmm. And so are we allowing the Lord to cleanse every area of our life? Sometimes we invite him into a certain area, but other areas we're like, okay, I can do this. But I think it's significant to just see what the Lord is doing and are we allowing him in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In every area of our life, right? Not just our Sunday, not just that moment in time, but every area of our life, transforming all of who we are. And on God's terms, really, right? Peter said, "Okay, fine, then let's do it this way." Jesus said, "No. You're not in control. You're not the one that sets the terms here. I do." Yeah, question.
Peter is forever in history in this passage for 2,000 years and beyond. But later, was he also told that he would betray him three mm-hmm. times?
Mm-hmm.
So is that true? Is that right?
Yeah.
The humility goes even further because he's washing his feet and allowing him to be in the scripture for us to really think about, that's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the same Peter who, yes, was the one who, the words weren't betray, it was deny, who would deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed, right? And yes, it's the same Peter who would just spout out the first thing that came to his mind. And Jesus was patient, was with him, transformed him. Yes, it was the same Peter who did that, who denied, and the same one who Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. So again, God is able to use ordinary to do extraordinary things. Any final thoughts, any final questions before I just close out with a few comments and we pray together? Yeah.
I feel convicted that a teaching that comes from this, the way I look at it, is not enough just to be a follower of Jesus. These characters have been with Jesus for all this time, but yet still they didn't know who he was. Even Judas did not know who Jesus was. Even though he had seen what Jesus could do, he was there. But yet, in his heart, he was not convicted of the power of God. He was just another follower. It was easy for him to be picked out by the devil and be used because he had no conviction. Even when Jesus asked, who do people say I am? What do you guys say? I mean, the other people say, and they came up with all the suggestions. Until Peter also, again, Peter, he said, you're the Son of God.
Exactly. Yeah.
So even as I feel that until we know who Jesus is, we could be in the fellowship, we could be wherever we are, but there's no conviction with us in ourselves. Do we really know who Jesus is? Because if we know who Jesus is, then we would be lining up with what he say. We'll not line up with we'll not be the quick pick from by the enemy. So my prayer is that we search our hearts and find out, where does the devil pick you up quickly? Does it mean that you need to change? Do I need to change? Because if Jesus we know, if we are not following him for the bread and the miracles, can we know him deeper beyond the bread and the things that we are seeing?
That's the question of all questions, right? Who do you say that I am? That's the question that is really the eternal question. Who do we say that Jesus is, right? And do we place our trust, our living hope, our living trust in him? Not just the words, not just the ideas, but our full trust in him. And it's interesting, right? Because oftentimes I love how Brother Francis gave that example. Some people say, you know what? I would believe in God. I'd believe in Jesus if I would see him, if I would touch him, if I would be there with him. But then what do we see? That even the disciples, those that were actually having dinner with him, still doubted. And the fact is that he did come. You know, people would say, oh, well, you know, I would believe in God if I saw God. He did come. He did show up, and he continues to show up in and through the family of God, in and through the church. So we're going to take some time to pray together and really just pray that the Lord's will would be done and that we would be able to really just see ourselves in this story, that we would be able to live this out as well. We see here that Jesus has been telling his disciples what greatness is. And yet, as Francis was mentioning, they still don't get it. They're still coming up with their own conclusions of greatness. Jesus is going to die on the cross in just a few hours from this event. And His death will not be just some accident. It's not going to just happen by the way. But his death is going to be how he becomes king. And the kingdom will come with power, but it's going to be with a power that is new and redefined. And it's exactly this new definition of power, this new definition of kingdom, this new definition of authority which Jesus is pointing to when he rolls up his sleeves and he washes the feet of his disciples. The disciples in this passage, in this text, they're like us. They're thinking as humans. They're not thinking as God thinks. God is redefining power and greatness. Dios está redefiniendo el poder y la grandeza. And it's a new kind of greatness. It's a new kind of leadership where, yes, God is great, yet it's unlike any greatness that you and I would ever imagine. It's a new kind of greatness marked by self-giving and sacrifice, where we take up our crosses, where we follow him, where we do as Jesus did right where we are. So when we sing songs about how great is our God, I want us all to remember this image of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. That's the kind of greatness we're singing about. When we sing, "How great thou art," I want us to look to the cross. That's the kind of greatness that we're singing about. We're singing about a God who loves us so much that would rather die than live without us. Jesus challenges our ideas of what we think greatness is. Jesus washing the feet of his disciples is actually God saying, you know what? I don't care about your titles. I don't care about your bigness or about the flashing lights. Greatness is now defined by self-giving love and sacrifice. That's what it comes down to. It's as simple as that and as difficult as that. People, as we've seen throughout the world, throughout history, and throughout the scripture, we see that people can do big things. But the kingdom of God works toward eternal things, not just big things. Big things come and they go, but eternal things last forever in the kingdom of God. So when we have opportunities to serve like we will this weekend at Genesis House, we can be a reflection of God's kingdom in everyday activities. We can show our neighbors real greatness as defined by Jesus instead of this fake aggression or this fake toughness that stinks and everyone can tell that is coming from a sense of fear and insecurity. Jesus' greatness is an alternative greatness. It's a different kind of greatness that seeks to serve instead of being served. So that's what we're going to do as a community. We're going to serve and love one another and our community just as Jesus has served and loved us. And that's what we're doing even this Saturday at the Hands and Feet Service Project. We want to serve as the hands and feet of Christ here in our community. You know, we've done this in the past with Visalia Rescue Mission, with Church House, this after-school program. And I've had people come up to me before and simply ask, why are you doing this? Well, we're doing this because God's love has the power to transform communities and to bring people together. That's true greatness in the kingdom of God. Esa es grandeza en el reino de Dios. So that's what we're going to do, and that's what God is going to continue to shape us in being. Where people can ask us why we're doing this, why we live the way that we do. Well, we do it for the glory of God, not just for ourselves. So once again, God turns the world that we live in. He comes and he turns it right side up. Where suddenly what we're used to thinking of as normal is no longer so normal. using other people as a means to an end that is no longer normal in the kingdom of God. All things become reversed for the good in the lordship of Christ. When we answer the question that Francis asked us earlier today, who do we say that he is? Power is redefined because Jesus is Lord. The great ones among us will not be the wealthiest. They're not going to be the toughest or the most intimidating. But the greatest will be the ones who, like Jesus in this passage, roll up their sleeves and show up when it's hard. Who roll up their sleeves and serve. The ones who show up when it's scary. Who wash the feet of others, just as our Lord did. So what does that mean or look like for us in this community and even in the life of the local church or our family lives? How can we be Jesus' people that serve wherever we are? You know, when we wash the feet of others, when we serve others, we exercise kingdom power. That's how we point to the kingdom of God. And as we close, this is just my final reflection. As we close in prayer and in worship, there's this passage where his disciples were actually asking him, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest among us? Can one of us be to your right, another one of us be to your left? And Jesus responds to them, he says this. He says, for even the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. This is our God. Our great King, who in his freedom and in his grace became like us so that we could be with him. And through him, may we, just like Jesus, just like our King, the King who came to serve and not be served, our great leader who laid down his very life in order that we may live, may we trust in him more than we do in ourselves. And together, as one family, as one community, may we enter into this new reality of redefined and unexpected greatness in the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar. Lord, we pray that you would show us your glory, show us your strength, show us your kingdom. Demuéstranos tu reino, tu poder, tu grandeza, Dios Santo. Lord God, help us today to see you as Savior, to see you as the servant, Lord, who humbled himself, who rolled up his sleeves, who washed the feet of his disciples. Lord, we pray that you would give us this greater vision, this new vision of what greatness is in your eyes, Lord. Forgive us for just falling into the patterns of this world, and thinking that might is right, or thinking that bigger just means better, Lord God. Help us to forget bigger and start thinking greater, Lord. Help us to let go of just big things and to hold on to eternal things in the kingdom of God, Lord. The cross looked so simple, but yet it is a new reality for us. Your resurrection seemed to be just another day, but it's the day that has changed all of human history, God. And we pray that you would just prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for your cross, for your resurrection this Easter. Thank you, Lord, because of you, because of your willingness to serve and lay down your life for us, it is finished. The work is done. And now we get to simply respond to you. We get to be a part of what you have started, O God. Lord, continue your work in and through us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.